What up, what up, what up? It's your boy DJ Suave here at the Penguin Radio, radio.making.edu. My co-host, DJ Riles, cannot make it here today, so it's going to be me for an hour talking about soccer, talking about the Champions League. But before that, I want to get into my game that Dominican had, the soccer game for the club soccer team. We played Chico. This is our first game, you know. We lost 4-0. First game, our chemistry isn't good. We still don't know each other very well. We still don't know how to, the formation isn't secure. The positions aren't secure. I mean, it was a good game. We had an injury 10, 15 minutes in, Jordan Smith. He's a defender. He's our one of our captains. He went up for a header in the box, and the opponent hit him, and his head just cracked open, and he ran off the field with blood gushing everywhere. You should have seen it. His jersey was completely covered in blood. His face, his arm, everything was completely covered in blood. He went straight to the emergency room. We haven't had any word from him yet. I'm hoping to hear from him soon. And then that happened, which took out one of our main defenders. So we had to put in someone who could fill that position. I mean, he's a senior. I think he's a junior. So his position was pretty crucial to the team and to the back line. But with that, we made it work. The first goal that Chico had was a penalty. I think, to be honest with you, that penalty was not deserved. It wasn't really a foul. He got my team got to the ball first. It was ball first, and then the tackle, and plus the Chico guy kind of dove. I mean, I'm biased because I'm from the soccer team, but from what I saw, and I was on the field, it was a dive. And also, our goalkeeper, DJ Riles, did not show up again, so we had to substitute a field player for the goal position, which also screwed up our dynamics in our team, because our goalie, DJ Riles, is very good. He's very talented, and without him, our back line or our defense without him, our goal was left more vulnerable and more weak. So after that first, we ended the half, I think 1-0, which I thought was a pretty good outcome at the half. We didn't let that many goals go in. We possessed a little bit, even though, I mean, Chico, you can tell that they had been playing for a long time. Those are the leftover good soccer players that didn't make the team. So they are high class players. They have talent. They have skill. Our team, the Dominican Soccer Club, is a couple of foreign people, some people who play soccer but recreationally. We're just recreational players. A lot of us have not played in a club, or a lot of us have not pursued or taken soccer as seriously as the people, the players on the actual soccer team. So that's one difference. So our team needs to learn how to, it needs to get better, just in general. So that was the half. Nothing else happened. We didn't really attack. We didn't test the goalkeeper at all. Everything was just chaos. At some times, our passing was not crisp. We would not challenge the players. We would get pushed around because Chico was a very, very aggressive team. They pushed off the ball. It was all legal. Most of it was legal, at least. And so, if most of it was legal, then, I mean, they pushed us off the ball really fast, and we didn't do anything about it. So, at halftime, Matt Kitagoa, our coach or our leader, he said that we needed to at least get some fouls and at least show Chico that we are as aggressive as them, and that we're not afraid of them, and that we will fight for every inch of that ball and off that field. So I was a little excited after that halftime speech. We go into the game. Then all of a sudden, boom, another goal. It was a miscommunication by the goalkeeper. He punched it out, but it came back onto the opponent team or the opponent player. The opponent kicked it in, and since the goalie wasn't really prepared or ready for that ball to come back in, it went in the goal. And that, and already being 2-0 down, that brought our confidence down, and we started hanging our heads down, which is never a good sign in soccer. In soccer, you always want to have that mentality that it's always 0-0. You can always win this. There's nothing better than making a comeback. And for me, that was the thing that frustrated me the most about my soccer team, was the fact that we have the potential, we have the talent, we have everything, but we just don't know how to play as a team, and we need to learn how to do that. So we ended 4-0. The second half wasn't that much better. We still had a little more possession. We had more fouls to show how aggressive we are, but we lacked that confidence. We lacked that push. We lacked that push to push us forward and to give us that motivation to score some goals. We came to some close chances, but once again, our finishing isn't on point and our passing isn't on point. So those were easily, those balls and those opportunities were easily taken away by the opponents, by Chico. At the end, they were very nice. They were very respectable. When they won, they came up and shook our hands. We had a good chat, and we all went home. But so now I want to say that we are a good team, that we have talent. We just need to work and practice more and take this more seriously, because there are some people that do not practice or take this as seriously as they should. Now, soccer. As everyone knows, the Champions League is coming up, or it's already in full swing. It's already full swing, and the next starting games are tomorrow, actually, April 1st, 2014. They are Manchester United versus Bayern Munich. Now, once again, we have said, DJ Rouse and I have said every single show how good Bayern Munich has been doing this year, how much potential and how much talent they have. And I think they're going to win this Champions League again for the second year in a row. They beat Borussia Dortmund last year in the finals. Very, very entertaining match. I liked it a lot. So they beat it last year, so they won the title. And I'm thinking that they might do the same thing this year. Maybe go for two in a row. Because also, since their opponent is Manchester United has been doing awful, completely awful this season. They are not even close to the top teams. They may be 6th, 7th place when Arsenal, Chelsea, and all those clubs, Manchester City, they're up top. They're up in the top four, and that's where Manchester Man U should be and have always been. So now thinking about this, is Manchester United doing awful and Bayern Munich doing amazing. That's going to be either a fun match to watch, because it's going to be the underdog doing well and the top competitors not playing their best, or it's going to be a really boring match because Bayern Munich is just going to trample all over Manchester United. And Manchester United has some key players that are out. They have Robin van Persie, the Dutch player who got very close to winning the World Cup. They were second runner up. So he's hurt. So he won't be playing. So in the fours, you're going to have Wayne Rooney, Javier Hernandez, which is the Chicharito, the kid from Mexico, Danny Welbeck, and James Wilson. I think that Wayne Rooney is for sure going to start, and Javier Hernandez is definitely going to start. I have no doubt. They need some speed. They need some young ability. And then they have Rooney, the wise guy, who's always there. Then in the midfield, we have Anderson, Ryan Giggs, Michael Carrick, Nani, Ashley Young, Tom Cleverley, Valencia, Fellaini, and the list goes on and on. I mean, their midfield is amazing. So I think they're going to start with Nani, definitely Antonio Valencia, and Cleverley. Those are going to and Ashley Young. I mean, those are the four main people that are going to be on the manager's mind when it comes to picking the lineup for who's going to start. So I mean, and then with Bayern Munich, they have Mandzukic, they have Götze, they have everyone who's doing great. They've bought so many young people who have so much potential in this league and in this career and in soccer in general. So I'm really excited for this match. I'm really excited to watch the first 15 minutes of the match, because those 15 minutes are going to tell you how this game is going to go. If they start off with 15 minutes and Manchester United is going off, then they have possession, they're keeping possession, they're getting some chances, all that stuff, is going to be a good game. You know it's going to be a good game, because you know that Manchester United will challenge Bayern Munich's ability and talents and make them prove to the world that they are the best club and the best team right now in the soccer world. And if those 15 minutes are the way they are going Manchester United's way, then we will see. And I'm going to say tune if those 15 minutes are going Man U's way, because if it's going Man U's way, I want to watch how Bayern Munich reacts. I want to watch if Bayern Munich goes hard or stays at the same pace, or it stays at the same skill level, and it's at the same motivation that they have, so I'm excited to see that. Now, Bayern Munich, but if Bayern Munich is winning and destroying in those 15 minutes, I don't think it's, I mean, there might, I don't really think it's really necessary to watch that game, because you kind of already know who's going to win. But there might be that one goal for Manchester United that will destroy the game for Bayern Munich, or that will make the game more interesting. So I think at halftime, you should join back in and see what the score is, to see what the game's going on, or what's going on in the game, and to see who's winning and see the results, to see if it's even worth watching the game, or if it's just a blowout and you just don't want to watch that game because it's already 5-0 Bayern Munich's way. So I mean, it all depends on how Manchester comes out and how Bayern Munich come out. But I personally think that Bayern Munich is definitely going to win. I say a 3-1. I'm going to say they beat the Manchester United 3-1. Now the next game, which at 2:45 p.m. Eastern time, is the Barcelona Atletico Madrid game. Oh, before I go on to Barcelona Atletico Madrid game, the Manchester United and the Bayern Munich game will be played in Old Trafford, which is the stadium for Manchester United. Now, I don't know if that's going to be if that's going to impact the game at all, because of that home advantage for Man U. They're definitely going to need it, and they definitely need to take advantage of this home field advantage, because it is the first game. It is the first game, so they need to score as many goals as they can and not let any goal in. Any goal that they let in counts towards and is more crucial to the scoring system. Because if it's an away goal, so I don't know if that's gonna change the dynamics of the game, or if it's gonna impact Manchester United in a good way, in a beneficial way. So I want to see how that plays out. So now back to the Barcelona Atletico Madrid game. These two teams have faced each other many times in the La Liga. They faced each other a couple weeks ago, and now they play in Camp Nou, which is in Barcelona, and they play Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid and Barcelona are at the top of their tables. They are very close to each other. Atletico Madrid, I think, is first. and then Real Madrid, and then Barcelona, which in like with maybe one or two points varying between those three teams. So I mean, it's a pretty even team. They've got good attackers. Barcelona is by far the most well known team, the most the team with the most known people, with the most famous people, with like Messi, Alexis Sanchez, Pedro, Neymar, Piqué, you know, all the people. Atletico Madrid have some people, but their main person is, or their main player is Diego Costa, the lead striker. They're having a great season. He's scoring a lot of goals. He's having fun. And now we're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back into the Barcelona Atletico Madrid game, and we're going to talk in depth a little bit more in depth about that. This is Penguin Radio. Join me in a little bit. Thank you. So now Manchester United, they are playing in they're playing at their own stadium, so they have that home field advantage, which may impact them, or which may have an impact in the game. You don't really know until you start playing. But Bayern Munich seems to be on lockdown has been winning a lot of the away games, or most of the away games that they have had. So I'm not really worried for Bayern Munich about them playing in Old Trafford. But maybe, just maybe, Manchester United might find that motivation to play for the fans, or play for the stadium and everything that they, and play for their stadium. So they might find a little motivation for that and play a little harder and win against Bayern Munich. Who knows? I think Bayern Munich is definitely going to trample all over Manchester United. But maybe not. Maybe the underdog might come up on top. Who knows? You never know in these situations. It all comes to who's ready for the game and who's more prepared, and just how what happens during the game. Now, the second game that day is Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid. Same time, and now this is played in Barcelona. So this is a home field advantage for Barcelona. And they're a good team. Don't get me wrong, they're a fantastic team. They may be lacking in some in their defense. They have not figured out yet how to situate everything, and because they're still doing some silly defense mistakes that can be easily fixed. But the big news that Barcelona needs to deal with is their main goalkeeper, Victor Valdez, is out for 7 months. In the last game versus, I think it was Osasuna, he destroyed his knee. I think he's going into surgery soon, and he's going to be out for 7 months. So that's going to be a huge blow to his international career, first of all, and to his club career. His club career is going to miss him because of the Champions League and the Liga. They're very, 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 very close, and it's very close with a lot of tension between Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, and Barcelona. So they're going to miss Victor Valdez on that. And Spain is going to miss out on Victor Valdez being the second string goalkeeper for the World Cup this summer, actually. So, I mean, that's going to be a huge blow. Hopefully, Casillas doesn't get hurt and they have to put in someone else. But that's a huge blow to Barcelona and to Spain. But now back to the game. Barcelona has been doing great. Atletico Madrid has been doing great. These two teams play in La Liga, so they know how each other plays, and they've played each other, so they are experienced. This is a 50-50 for me. I don't know. I am a fan of Barcelona. I love Barcelona, so I'm hoping they win. But that's biased, and I'm not. This show is not biased. We're not biased here. Atletico Madrid. Good team. Good defense, good midfield. But that one player, Diego Costa, he is going to need to make that difference. He's going to need to step up to make that difference against Barcelona. If you score against Barcelona, I feel like that would be an accomplishment. Scoring against any big team like Bayern Munich, Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, scoring against those teams is such an honor, because you have scored against one of the best teams in the world, and I wouldn't know how to react. So, I mean, hopefully he steps up and destroys, or not destroys, but it's a good game between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid. Now, Camp Nou, is that going to be a factor or not? Is that going to be beneficial to Barcelona with the fans yelling their names and the chanting and the booing and the heckling and all that stuff? I don't know if that's going to make a difference or if that's going to impact the game at all. I mean, who knows? Who knows? So, before any of those soccer newbies out there, in the Champions League, when it's out of the group stages, they go in. They have these stages, and then they play the same team twice, once in each stadium, to have that home field advantage for the both teams. And so if the away team scores a goal, it counts more. Let's say, in Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona beats Atletico Madrid 3-1. So Atletico Madrid has that one goal, or let's say if Barcelona beats Atletico Madrid 1-1. Atletico Madrid is still winning because they scored an away goal on Barcelona. But if Barcelona comes in the next match, which would be in Atletico Madrid, or in Madrid, and they score 2-1, then that means that Barcelona would win because of that home field advantage. Or that away goal that they had, because it's statistically harder to score away, it counts more. So it's really beneficial to step up the games that are home, to not let any goals in, and to step it up offensively at away games. So those are the two matches for April 1st, Tuesday, April 1st. And when we come back, I'll talk about Wednesday, April 2nd, which is the two games are Paris Saint-Germain versus Chelsea and Real Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund. When we come back, I'll go in depth with those. This is Penguin Radio. This is DJ Suave. Thank you.
Bring a brother to the stage, a legend here in Jamaica and also all over the world, Mr. Jimmy Cliff. Look at him, he's shy too, eh? All right.
No. No.
And we're back with Kicking It with DJ Suave. Unfortunately, my co-host DJ Riles cannot make it here today. And so we're back with the second day of Champions League. Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014. The first game, which is 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. I think all the games are at the same time. So you're going to have to pick which one you want to watch more. Or you can switch between channels. I don't know. I personally usually just like to stay on one because then I'm too lazy to grab the control or the remote control and press last or press, you know, 4 or like 6:51 or something. I don't know. I'd rather just stay on one game because I know what's going on in that game. Then I can just watch the highlights of the other game later. So, actually, okay, now back to the games. Paris Saint-Germain versus Chelsea. Paris Saint-Germain, they have a lot of good players. Lavezzi, Cavani, and Ibrahimovic up front. Lavezzi is from Argentina, very fast, very quick, and he's aggressive. Ibrahimovic, everyone knows Ibrahimovic. Sweden, he's from Sweden. He has played for Barcelona, Juventus, Inter Milan, Ajax, and now PSG and Milan, and AC Milan. So, I mean, he's been having a heck of a career. He has been scoring ridiculous goals. Some goals that I don't even know how he scores. He has one of the most powerful shots that I have seen with his right foot. He's tall. He's aggressive. He's very strong, so he can knock the defenders off their feet. And then they have Cavani on the right. He's Uruguayan. Very good. I like the way he plays. He's aggressive. He's fast. He passes well, so that the attackers are very solid. Three of those are very good. I'm excited to watch them play. I always like watching them play. It's always fun. And then we have, then in the back we have Thiago Silva, who is now I consider him one of the best defenders in the game now that Carles Puyol is dwindling down. You know, so I think that Thiago Silva is a very, very good defender. He's now a captain of the team. He knows what to do. He knows how to talk to his players. He basically knows how to run the team, and he basically knows how to run that back line. He knows how to talk to everything. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen before it happens, so he's got that instinct. They used to have David Beckham last year, but David Beckham retired this year, and he's actually starting a club. He's trying to start a new team in Miami, Florida. I've actually seen the stadium that he's trying to build, and it is incredible. I think it's one of the best stadiums that the MLS will see. So now back to PSG. I think that their midfield could use some help. I don't think Matuidi and a lot of those players can be as influential and it can have that big of an impact on the game as a lot of other defenders can. So a lot of midfielders can. So that's going to be a problem figuring out how to control the midfield while playing against Chelsea. Chelsea, on the other hand, before going to Chelsea, they're playing in Paris. So once again, the home field advantage will be towards Paris Saint-Germain. I'm excited to watch this game. First of all, because I love watching Ibrahimovic, and it's unpredictable what he might do, what shot he might pull off, and if it might go in or not. So the second thing, Chelsea. Chelsea is a good team. They 2 years ago they won the Champions League with on penalties. They beat I think it was Bayern Munich again. So I mean Bayern Munich is one. This shows another example of how Bayern Munich has been increasing every year and has even been getting better every year. So now Chelsea, who lost Drogba, but gained Samuel Eto'o this year, who played for Barcelona, Inter, you know, all these good clubs. He's from Ivory Coast. He's very, very good. He's very good. He's very fast. He's getting a little old, though, but he's definitely competing against Fernando Torres, who has been Chelsea for quite a while. I recently actually saw them play their last Champions League match, who I forget who they played, but they had a Eto'o had a good game. Fernando Torres got injured during the practice the practice before the game. So they had to sub him out and put in Eto'o. So Eto'o wasn't really prepared to start, but he definitely did the job. He definitely had the experience, and he definitely knew what he was doing in order to start, because he started so many games in the past. So I mean, that's one attacker that they definitely could use. Fernando Torres is definitely another one. They recently just lost Juan Mata, a good midfielder, but they have Eden Hazard. They have Ramirez. I mean, they have a lot of good players that can fill in his shoes. And so, I mean, I don't think Juan Mata's loss was that could impact or impact them that much. I think that they had a good run, or Juan Mata had a good run at Chelsea. But the funny thing is that Juan Mata moved to Manchester United, and Manchester United is having an awful season. So I think he picked the wrong season to move to Manchester United from Chelsea, when Chelsea is having a great season. So I mean, in the defense, they have David Luiz, they have John Terry, they have Cahill, they have a lot of good defenders. John Terry is definitely good. I think he's past his prime, personally. I mean, DJ Rouse can argue on me, or has argued with me on that one, but I think that he's way past his prime, and they could use someone younger and who's more in shape. I mean, John Terry may have the experience and may have the wisdom, but he doesn't have the physical aspects anymore. He doesn't have the physical abilities that all these young kids have. So I think that might hurt them a little, but maybe the wisdom and the experience might help them a lot. So I don't really know. It's still a 50-50. But I mean, it's going to be a good game. Personally, I don't know which one's going to come out on top. I think Chelsea might, because they have a better midfield. They know how to control better. And plus, I think they're just the better team. PSG is good. Don't get me wrong, they're very good, but I don't think they're at the skill level that Chelsea's at. I think that if Paris Saint-Germain played in the Barclays Premier League, they wouldn't be doing as well as they are doing in the French league. So I mean, I think Chelsea's gonna win, but I think it's gonna be a very, very, very close game with a lot of aggressiveness, a lot of physicality. So it's gonna also come down to the referee and whether he allows there to be a lot of aggressiveness, or if he doesn't allow it. That's always another variable in the game. But to be honest with you, I have no idea who is gonna win. I would like Paris Saint-Germain to win, because first of all, they have not won a Champions League yet, and Chelsea has won a couple, and they recently won it. So I think PSG deserves it. I think they have been working their asses off this entire season to be where they are in the Champions League. So hopefully PSG wins. But I think that Chelsea's gonna win if we're being unbiased here. Now the next game is Real Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund, and they play in the Santiago Bernabeu, which is in Madrid. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stadium. Huge. I've been there. It's huge. There's so many seats. If you see the players step onto the field and line up, that is one of the best feelings that I will ever get. And just the memory of Messi and Ronaldo coming out onto the pitch at the same time, it killed me. Because I went to go watch the Barcelona-Real Madrid game a year ago, very close to a year ago, or more than a year ago, barely. So, I mean, it's a very nice stadium. But regardless, Borussia Dortmund beat Real Madrid, I think, 2 years ago, or I think a year ago, in the quarterfinals, or no, in the semifinals. So it's going to be a good game for Real Madrid to take revenge on Borussia Dortmund for beating them out of the finals last year. Real Madrid they are a great team, and so is Borussia Dortmund. Real Madrid, they obviously have Cristiano Ronaldo, Casillas, Sergio Ramos, Pepe, Di Maria, Gareth Bale, Benzema, Modric. They have unlimited amount of players that are all high-skilled players. So even their starting players and their bench players are pretty much at the same skill level. So I think that their bench player, that overall they're a great team, and the chemistry that they have and the way that they work together and the way that they play, their play style is very different. They like to pass it around like Barcelona, but also have those through balls and those counterattacks and that fast-paced kind of game. So I think it actually, in the past couple games, I said that having the home field advantage may not be as beneficial as people might think. But I think in this game, being in the Bernabeu, in Santiago Bernabeu, will help and motivate the Real Madrid players in order to get some goals and to win and to get a W. Let's get the dub going, right? So now Borussia Dortmund, they are a good team. They have Lewandowski up top. But honestly, I think Borussia Dortmund is going downhill after they sold Lewandowski and Mario Götze over to Bayern Munich. Those two were one of the best players that they had, and they lost them because of the money. Not lost them because of the money, but they sold them just to get the money. So while they still have Lewandowski until next season, they lost Mario Götze. Even though there are still other players that can fill in their these players' shoes, I just don't think that Borussia Dortmund has it in them to actually create any chances, and I think they're a little bit weak in the defense, if I'm to be completely honest. So I think Real Madrid has got this revenge already. They've got this W. They will take revenge on Borussia Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund might, I mean, they're obviously going to score a couple goals, I believe, because of the sheer intensity that they have, and because they're used to playing against Bayern Munich, so Bayern Munich is a very strong team. Last year they beat Barcelona. I think they beat, aggregate score was 7-0. The first game they scored 4-0, and then the second game they scored 3-0. So I mean, to beat Barcelona at that high of, to score against Barcelona 7 times without them scoring once is a huge achievement. It's something that most teams don't do, and this shows you and it shows the people how good and how big of a competitor and how strong of a competitor Bayern Munich is. So to play against them, Borussia Dortmund must know how to play against them. And so if Bayern Munich can beat Barcelona and Barcelona can beat Real Madrid, the transcendence property, Borussia Dortmund can, or Real Madrid should be able to beat, or Borussia Dortmund might have a slight chance of beating Real Madrid. I kind of went off on a little hypothesis there, and a little unrealistic, but I think that's just the way it has to go. I'm going to take a break real fast. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about a little more in depth, and we'll be back. Thank you for listening to Penguin Radio here at radio.jamaica.edu. This is DJ Suave, and you're listening to Kicking It. Do you like to get yourself head out the way, old man Tucker? Do you like to get yourself head out the way, old man Tucker? Do you like to get yourself?
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay.
Back to kicking it with DJ Suave here at Penguin Radio. Here at radio.dominican.edu. To wrap it all up, I just want to go over what we went over today and what we covered. We went over Champions League, the schedule for this week, which is April 1st, which is tomorrow. Manchester United versus Bayern Munich at Old Trafford. At 2:45 p.m., both games are 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. So don't remember, that's Eastern Time. That'd be 11:45 a.m. here on the Pacific Coast. Then the next game we talked about is Barcelona Atletico Madrid. Now, I think Manchester United and Bayern Munich game is going to be boring. Bayern Munich is going to destroy. Let's put it that way. I think it's going to be at least 3-0 Bayern Munich. I don't think Manchester City will not score a goal. Because of the Bayern Munich's defense. Barcelona Atletico Madrid, I think it's going to be a very, very, very even game. Barcelona's going to have a lot of chances. They're going to have most of the possession. But Atletico Madrid will show them up. They will show them up for sure. I don't know how the outcome's going to show up, so I'm going to say it's going to be a 1-1 tie. I can't decide. It's on the fence. The ball is literally on the goal line. It depends on who wants it more. Then the next game is Paris Saint-Germain. Then it comes to Wednesday, April 2nd, PSG versus Chelsea. All games are at 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. So this is Paris Saint-Germain versus Chelsea. I think that Chelsea's going to win 2-1. 2-1. Chelsea's going to win 2-1. I think Chelsea has the more experience in the Champions League, but there might be the possibility of the underdog So I think that Chelsea's going to win, but Paris Saint-Germain will challenge Chelsea and will make sure that Chelsea plays their best game in order to win. And I think that's going to be a good game. And the next game is Real Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund. I think Real Madrid will win. Once again, the underdog might come out on top, but I highly doubt it. So Barcelona and Atletico Madrid game is played in Camp Nou, which is in Barcelona. The Paris Saint-Germain versus Chelsea game is played in France, or in Paris. And the Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund game is played in Madrid, in Santiago Bernabeu. There's no more schedules ahead, because depending on who wins here, depends on who wins here and who wins the second aggregate, which is Tuesday, April 8th. Borussia Dortmund play Real Madrid and Chelsea play PSG at 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. That's April 8th. Then April 9th is Atletico Madrid versus Barcelona and Bayern Munich versus Manchester United. So, depending on who wins those two matches, we know what the schedule is, because since it's the quarterfinal, the next step is obviously the semifinals. In the semifinals, I'm hoping to see Bayern Munich play Barcelona and Chelsea play Real Madrid. I'm hoping to see that. And if that actually happens, I think Bayern Munich is going to take Barcelona away easily, like the way they did last year. And I think that Real Madrid and Chelsea game is going to be very, very tight. They played Chelsea and Real Madrid played 2 years ago when Chelsea won the Champions League. So that's going to be a good matchup. Real Madrid is going to take revenge on Chelsea, hopefully. Or not hopefully, but just, I hope that they try to get revenge to make it a better game, to make it a better match, more exciting match. Because some soccer haters say that soccer is a very boring sport, because they spend 90 minutes, 22 people spend 90 minutes trying to score a goal. I mean, you gotta look at it both ways, right? There's also 90 minutes of exciting, almost scoring opportunities where your heart starts racing, your heart starts thumping, everything's going on at the same time. You don't know if your team's gonna score, if they're gonna get scored on. You know, it's very exciting. It's very, very, a lot of stress on your heart, you know, a lot of heart palpitations. but other than that, I think it's gonna be a good Champions League, regardless of who wins. I mean, I think the winner of this Champions League deserves it. Very, very much, because of the teams that they have played and the teams that they will play moving forward. So with that, I would like to thank you guys for listening to Kicking It with DJ Suave. Unfortunately, once again, DJ Riles cannot make it, but he will see you again next time, Mondays, 8 to 10, here at Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thank you once again for listening. DJ Suave signing out.